The following AA talk was recorded at the weekly Never Had a Legal Drink group of Alcoholics Anonymous. The opinions of the speaker do not necessarily represent those of the group or AA as a whole. Rather, this story represents one person's experience. If you have a desire to stop drinking and would like help, contact Alcoholics Anonymous at www.aa.org, or you can find AA listed in your local telephone book. AA's Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
I am sure I'm an alcoholic. I've been wanting to speak at this meeting for a very long time, and I'm very happy I am, because up until 6 months ago or so, I didn't really feel like I have a home like I do now. I'm with a bunch of people that are around my age, and you know, when I was out there, I didn't really have a life, and I do now, and it's expanded even more now. So what I like to talk about is not really, you know, for me, I've had a lot of trouble comparing through my recovery, so I don't really like to hit on what I did or how much I did, because from my side of the, you know, the mirror, it's almost irrelevant to me. How I did it, why, who I hurt, and et cetera, on that level. That's really what matters to me. Because there are people with all walks of life here, and we're all here for the same reason. And there are people that have drank this much, and you know, but so I was against drinking and substances, anything, for a very long time. I mean, I remember up until 10th grade, I would always tell people that I'll have a Sprite at a party. That, you know, I'm fine, I'll have a Sprite at a party, I don't need a drink. And then when I had a drink, I was like, I don't want a Sprite. This is really good. And Sprite would just water it down. Why the hell would you have a Sprite? When I first started drinking, I really didn't drink often. You know, I loved it. I had a lot of fun. But what happened, my story, see, I'm here not because of drugs or alcohol. I'm here because of my mind. 100%. If I was here because of alcohol, I wouldn't need to be here anymore. I would have learned about myself, self-knowledge would have been enough, and I would be fine. But I'm not fine. I need to come here for medicine. I need to come, this is much better than a drink. This is, you know, as they say, springboard back into life. I cannot believe I'm quoting the Big Book. But, you know, that's another thing, you know, through my recovery, I really loosened up. It took me a while to get to where I am today, where I can appreciate all that's laid out for me, the Big Book, the literature, and the people with their hands out. You know, I was so angry and so bitter because my life wasn't the way that I wanted it to be. But I have to look back into the past and how I felt before, how I felt, you know, in April 23rd, 06, when I went into rehab, how much misery I was in. So, you know, my first addiction, as I'm saying, wasn't just about the drink, was this girl. And this girl, I was fine with this girl. I did not need to drink. I did not need anything else. This girl was everything to me. that did not turn out so well. And when that was over, I transitioned, and, you know, I just didn't want to be me. I did not want to be with the people that loved me, the friends I had. I wanted to do different things. I wanted to be cooler. I wanted to be wittier. And the result of that, the result of not wanting to be me, took me more away from myself than I've ever been in my entire life. I was always uncomfortable. When I was in second grade, I didn't know that I would do this, but I would make myself throw up. And I got so much negative attention. And I really believed that it was because of the heat outside. But it wasn't. It was because I needed people to see me. And, you know, people saw me. And even back then, I had friends, but there was always something. And, you know, through these steps, I know that every single thing that I want to discover about myself, I will. Everything. And the things that I want, that I won't get, there's a good reason for it. And probably with a lot of hard work, my wants and desires will change to what's best for me at the moment. So I'm pretty confident that I'll find out a lot about myself back in the day in the future. But for right now, all I know is that I never liked myself. And you know, there's still plenty of days when I don't. But the difference is that there's hope. I shared this maybe in another meeting recently. There's hope. And there's not just hope, there's faith. And there's a way out of the torture that I could put myself through. Because back then, I did not have a way out. You know, I made the torture bed, I strapped myself in, and I pressed the button without even realizing it. So, you have my emotions, my feelings, and, you know, I was, with my usage, I wanted to be with people. There were plenty of times when people did not want to hang out with me to drink, and I didn't drink. I put the two together. Drinking became friendships, and friendships became drinking. And there was no thought about what else can I do to make myself happy? Where else can I go? Who else can I hang out with? What clubs can I join? It was all about, I need to feel release. And, you know, it got to the point where I remember when I was like 6 or 8 years old, I taught myself, I prayed. No one ever told me to pray. No one ever told me to. No one ever taught me how. No one ever pressured me. I knew that there was something there. And I would pray. I would start with the material things every night, and I would end off with my family and the people closest, and then finally, I would thank God for me and all the things I love about myself. And I don't, you know, that really went out the window, because I ended up really alone with my drinking. I drank, you know, one of the defining moments was when I drank to talk to people on AOL. And that's where I was, you know. And then I slammed the bottle down, and I was like, this isn't even working. I guess there was humor in that I didn't find. I'll learn about being funny from you guys. You know, what happened is that, you know, really right now, not a lot's coming to me about my drinking, about my story of drinking, and that's okay. See, the reason it's not coming to me now, I guess, is just because that's not where I am at this present moment speaking to you guys. Because what I come here for is to stay sober myself and to share the message of how I mean, we all have our own stories. Just because it's not coming to me doesn't mean you guys don't understand, and I know that. So, whatever's going to come out, it's going to come out. I started really getting, you know, taken off in the wrong direction, and I turned into a monster. I turned into this, started hanging out with people that I can't even believe I was hanging out with, doing things that I couldn't. This kid that appreciated prayer without anybody telling him to pray, man, I was the opposite. I was becoming soulless. I was just, you know, when I had spells where I wouldn't drink because I was an outpatient, and I would always go back. I remember it would always end like I would go out to the city with friends and say, I'm not going to drink tonight. And things would start getting uncomfortable, and I'd be like, sake bomb right here, let's do it. And then it would seem like it was on, but then all the regrets would come back the next day. And it started getting really bad, though. I started just treating my family like garbage, you know, getting my brother into really bad things. And I got sent away to rehab. And when I was in rehab, I was comparing myself to everyone. Everyone was better than me because of the drugs they did. Everyone was better than me because they drank more than me. But at the same time, you know, it was funny. I would manipulate, like, I would go around to all these other, you know, kids in rehab that are there for this and that and say, you heard my story. I'm not an addict, right? Like, oh, come on, I'm not that bad. And they'd say, no. And so I'd go to the therapist and be like, look, they said I don't belong here, so, like, I'm going home because these kids that were sent away. And that did not work because I got sent away for another 3 months. They saw right through me. I was a bomb that already went off, about to explode even more. And I'm so grateful that I was in such doubt and denial, because if I wasn't, I might not have went away for those 3 extra months and the 2 extra months after that. Again, I didn't go away because of how much or, you know, all the crazy things I did. I mean, in part, yes, that's what got me to rehab, you know, but I got sent away for extra months because it was obvious that I was alone, that I was scared, and that I was a liar, and that I was in denial, and I was a manipulator, and I was not going in the right direction. And if I could just see that woman that sent me away again, you know, man, because there is a solution. There's a solution to that. So I was in rehab. I was away in total for 6 months, and what made me, I did not think I had a problem when I was in rehab at first, but what the thing that clicked for me was my mom and dad visiting, and my mother and father in the program. And I didn't even know this till like 2 days before I went away. I had no idea. I just thought they didn't drink. I had no clue. And they said to me, we found what you got your brother into. That's all it took. That's really all it took. And I realized my whole life, everything that I want to do with my world revolves around drinking and the lifestyle and getting messed up and being with people, because I thought it was cool to be a scumbag. I wanted to be a scumbag. I really did. And everything that made me feel and just made me feel powerful. And I realized, like, he goes, the guy who worked there, he goes, your parents are in the rooms and you're in rehab and you don't think you have a problem? And I was like, oh, man. Yeah, you're right. So, you know, I came home and, you know, I again, the alcoholic personality, when I had a home pass from rehab, and I went out to a party, and I snuck out of my house, went out to a party, and I didn't drink. They sent me back, and then I was the victim, of course. And when I when I came home from rehab, I made sure that none of that stuff happened. When I was in rehab, the defining moment where I decided I wanted to get healthy and sober was when they allowed us 5 cigarettes a day. And we would all go and we ran out to outside meetings and we'd sneak cigarettes from other people. They'd give us cigarettes. And I said, I can't do this anymore. If I smoke more than 5 cigarettes a day, I'm not going to be able to take serenity and recovery back home. So I decided to only smoke 5 cigarettes a day. And I just, when I got home, I didn't care. I mean, I even come to young people meetings for a while. I didn't care that I was the youngest by 30 years in these rooms. I didn't care. I did not want to drink. I did not want a drug. I did not want to be a part of the person that I'm not anymore. You know, I would like to actually tell a quick little story. When a couple weeks before rehab, that's when things really started getting bad, like really, really bad. And it went in a snap. In a split second, I turned from alone, afraid, and dependent to like full blown, as I said, monster. And I just had surgery on my leg. I tore my ACL for the second time. And I just had surgery on it. So, under the influence, now I'm constantly under the influence, and I decide to take the car with this cast on my leg 2 days after surgery and drive to Brooklyn with this, one short stop, my leg is shattered. And I didn't even, this stuff didn't even cross my mind. My parents were the bad guys, and I was just going to keep doing it. And, walking up and down the stairs without a crutch, and this ACL surgery is pretty bad, and then walking out at midnight to get stuff, and in, my pajamas with crutches, and people are just like, what are you doing? And they stopped the car, and this girl, the valedictorian, said, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm getting messed up. She goes, oh, and drove off. So, and I made sure, I didn't want to be a part of that anymore. I wanted to have life. I wanted to feel invigorated. I wanted to feel something else. And I started the steps. I got a sponsor. And I worked my ass off. I really did. I worked my ass off. And I don't know. It's weird to say how much time I have now, because I don't really know how to word it other than God willing, soon, God willing, I will have, whatever. It'll be 4 years. And looking back on that 4 years ago and the difference in me, 6 months ago, I couldn't look anybody in the face here. I had one friend from here. I was shook. I was scared. And not only does this program keep me further and further away from alcohol, it brings me closer and closer to life. It's funny, because I'll stay here, again, stay sober and help the next alcoholic. But really, and I think that what most of us want is we want a happy life. And for me personally, the only way I could have that is that if I do not take a sip of alcohol today, if I take care of my business and work on myself 100%. And so, I went through the steps, and looking back, it was extremely unstructured. I had I probably had 20 sponsors, and I'm not joking, it's probably the number. And I don't know if it was bad luck or just some of it was I was just afraid, but I did the steps, and looking back on it, it wasn't structured at all. I still need more. That's why I'm doing the fourth step again right now. And I'm doing this fourth step, and it's real today, At this point in my recovery, it's real this time. I worked my ass off. I was honest. I was thorough. I was willing. I did not hold anything back. But, I can see how close, I can be very close to a drink sometimes, you know. Just because I'm up here speaking doesn't mean that I have to sound like everything's perfect. I have just as many issues, if not less, but still as significant, but than other people. I have to realize my gratitude, but also that my situations are legitimate and how I'm going to work through them. And where am I? Whoa. I just bugged out. I've had like mad energy drinks today, and I think it's messing with me. Yeah. So, fourth step. That's good stuff. Yeah. So, bottom line is that without the people here, without, you know, they say meeting makers make it. They say 90 and 90. They say, don't drink, go to meetings. I mean, it's a great suggestions, but to me personally, you know, those are words and those are concepts. And in my opinion, I'll make it if I go to meetings. But the reason that I go to meetings is so I can keep my program in check. And the reason I do my program is so I can stay connected and stay sober. But they go hand in hand. They're not two different monsters. They are the same beast right here. And, I can go to 90 meetings in 90 days, but what's really going to keep me sober is working the program. And, you know, I there was a point in my recovery where I was against everything. I was against sponsor. I was against going to meetings. I was against what people say and what people do. And I'm very happy that I have found my niche in recovery, and that I'm finally working hard again, because there's a lot of people that are going to be reaching their hand out, and I want to be there to help them, because the people that I wanted to be and wanted to be like and wanted to hang around with weren't going to reach their hand out to me. And now what the people that have reached their hand out to me have helped me reach my hand out to myself. I need to depend on other people, but I don't only need to depend on other people. Yeah, I go through a lot of shit or stuff. If you could beep that out on me, I don't know. In my head. But, you know, it's okay. I mean, I how much time do we have? Because I feel like I'm writing a novel and I have writer's block. 4 minutes. Can I end now?
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, what I'm saying is that, you know, you know, it's a life of happiness and hope today. It's a life of confidence in getting there, and it's not about being happy or sad. It's about just being, and being in the moment, like just being able to be free. I want to be free. I don't want to be locked up in my head. I've been there way too much. I've been there way too long. I did not have the key. And now the key's there if I open up my heart to it. Oh, I can actually go for the next 3 minutes. I have stuff to say. The second step is one of the most profound things to me, that came to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. What a statement that is, that I believe that something can heal me, something that's not myself. And if anybody has, you know, if this is their first meeting or they're really new, try not to let any of these words or these steps confuse you. All it is really, it's, I'm an alcoholic and I cannot drink because my life sucked and it didn't work. Now, it doesn't have to be G-O-D. It doesn't have to be the people in the rooms. It doesn't have to be this or that. It could be any higher power. Anything that's not me, I believe, can take me to a better life. And I just try to do the things that thing would want me to do, what I feel in my gut, and when I'm confused, I open up to other people and ask them what they think I should do. I turn it over. I unload all my stuff. I put it down on paper, and I tell people honestly. I come to the point where I want to get this stuff off my chest because I want to stay sober. And then I right my wrongs. I stay in contact with whatever power that I want to have. And then I continue doing this, and I have the joy of reaching out to somebody else. And that's really, it could be tough at times, but that's what it is. So, wrap it up in 2 minutes, Ryan just wrote down. I'll wrap it up now. It's all good. I'm living life today. I'm happy today, and I'm sober today. And I hope that, I hope that when people reach their hand out, other people will be there to shake their hands tonight. Because that's really what it's about, So, thank you.
The preceding AA talk was recorded at the weekly Never Had a Legal Drink group of Alcoholics Anonymous. The opinions of the speaker do not necessarily represent those of the group or AA as a whole. Rather, this story represents one person's experience. If you have a desire to stop drinking and would like help, contact Alcoholics Anonymous at www.aa.org, or you can find AA listed in your local telephone book.